As you know, I am constantly saying that the Catholic Church has been infiltrated by communists and Freemasons who got themselves into positions of power and who at the Second Vatican Council took over the Church and have been trying to destroy the Church by watering down the faith. And I want to give a perfect example of how they are accomplishing this and yet staying under the radar. Of course, there's no reason to worry. A, Christ promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against the Catholic Church. And B, the Catholic prophets and Marian apparitions predicted a crisis in the Church that would begin in the later part of the 20th century, and that eventually the Church would look dead only to rise more glorious than ever. But until the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, here's an example of how they are trying to destroy the Church from within. First, a little background. I raised my four kids in the Novus Ordo mainstream church. Two of these kids, my two oldest, even went to Catholic school. By the time I realized what was going on in the mainstream church, how the communists and Freemasons were actively trying to destroy the church from within, my youngest kids had already gone through confirmation and were in their late teens. The end result of all of this is my children stopped going to Mass. And of course now, though I try to tell them what's going on, I sound crazy to them. God recently opened the door for my granddaughter to go to Catholic school, and although the Catholic schools are far from where they need to be, it's definitely better than the alternative, which is public school. Now, she's in second grade, and as you know, that means she is preparing for her first confession, which they call first reconciliation, and her first communion. Last Sunday after Mass, they had a student/parent meeting to prepare for first reconciliation. The children went to one room, mainly doing arts and crafts, and the parents in another. Since my daughter was sick, I attended the parent meeting. Among other things, we were shown a short 5-minute film from Busted Halo, quote, explaining why we Catholics go to a priest to confess our sins. Now, I found this video on YouTube, and you can look it up. It's from Busted Halo, and it's on confession. I was going to just show the whole video in this video, but you can't really do a re-presentation under fair use. So then I thought, well, I'll just show the highlights, but then it looks like I'm editing it to make it say something that it's not, which I've already been accused of doing in another video. So I'm just going to say, if you want to watch the video, it's Busted Halo on confession. Just type in the search bar, Busted Halo confession. It should be the first one up, and it's 5 minutes. And then see if you agree with me on what it's actually saying. But according to this video, and apparently the first reconciliation program of my diocese, when we sin, we pray to God to actually be forgiven for our sins, but because of fraternal brotherhood, social justice, collective salvation, we're all in this together, and other Freemasonic nonsense, we confess to a priest because we have sinned against the community. Right. Or at least that's the impression that the video gives. To be fair, after the video, the person running the meeting did briefly mention John chapter 20, where Jesus gives the apostles the authority to forgive sins, but did little else to clarify or give the real church teaching on why we confess sins to a priest. To be honest, I wasn't surprised. I'd heard this before. When I went through the RCIA program 30 years ago, when my father went through the RCIA program 20 years ago, and when each of my kids went through the first reconciliation. Most of these were at another church in the diocese, so I know it's just not this church. In fact, it wasn't until a little over 12 years ago that I found out that this was all BS, pardon my French. I was challenged on that being the teaching of the Catholic Church on confession by, of all things, a Protestant. I decided I'd better find out for myself. So I read the Catechism, and here's what I found. 1861. Mortal sin is a radical possibility of human freedom, as is love itself. Its result is the loss of charity and the privation of sanctifying grace, that is, the state of grace. If it is not remedied by repentance and God's forgiveness, it causes exclusion from Christ's kingdom and eternal death of hell. 1033. To die in mortal sin without repenting and accepting God's merciful love means remaining separated from Him forever by our own free choice. This state of definitive self-exclusion from communion with God and the blessed is called hell. 1857. For a sin to be mortal, three conditions must be met. Mortal sin is sin whose object is grave matter and which is also committed with full knowledge and deliberate consent. 1446. Christ instituted the sacrament of penance for all sinful members of His church, above all those who since baptism have fallen into grave or mortal sin and have thus lost their baptismal grace and wounded ecclesial communion. It is to them that the sacrament of penance offers a new possibility to convert and to recover the grace of justification. 1451. Among the penitent's acts, contrition occupies first place. Contrition is sorrow of the soul and detestation for the sin committed, together with the resolution not to sin again. 1452. When it arises from a love by which God is loved above all else, contrition is called perfect. Such contrition remits venial sins. It also obtains forgiveness for mortal sins if it includes the firm resolution to have recourse to the sacramental confession as soon as possible. 1453. The contrition called imperfect is also a gift from God, a prompting of the Holy Spirit. It is born of the consideration of sin's ugliness or the fear of eternal damnation and other penalties threatening the sinner. Such a stirring of conscience can initiate an interior process which, under the prompting of grace, will be brought to completion by sacramental absolution. It by itself, however, imperfect contrition cannot obtain the forgiveness of grave mortal sin, but it disposes one to obtain forgiveness in the sacrament of penance. So, according to the Catechism, for venial sin, yes, pray to God and those sins are forgiven. However, if a person commits mortal sin, which is a grave sin committed with full knowledge and complete consent of the will, and said person does not have perfect contrition, which arises from love of God, but rather imperfect contrition, which is, for example, fear of hell, the only way that person can get that sin forgiven and thus avoid hell when they die is to confess that sin to a Catholic priest and receive absolution. That's pretty important, don't you think? Was any of that said in the Busted Halo video? No. And if what's in the video is what they're teaching adults, do you really think that they're teaching the 7-year-olds the truth? Now, you might say, okay, so they're not giving the real teaching on this, but what's in the video isn't necessarily wrong, just not the whole truth. How does that serve to, quote, destroy the church from within? Well, it trivializes the sacrament. According to this, there's no substantial reason to go to confession. You pray to God to be forgiven, and you only go to confession to get reconciled with the community. Who cares? Nobody wants to confess their sins to a priest. And if you don't have to get forgiven, you're not going to. And why stay Catholic? If I can get my sins forgiven just as easily as a Baptist or insert any other church as I can being in the Catholic Church, I mean, they're a community as well. And Mass is boring, at least the Novus Ordo Mass is. Those other churches have cool music and a cool young pastor that keeps my attention, not hippie folk music and 80-year-old priests. Or why go to church at all? And that's why the kids are leaving the church in droves, because they're not being told that their salvation depends on them staying in the Catholic Church. To drive the point home, here's just a few things that the Council of Trent has to say about the sacrament of penance. Canon 1. If anyone says that in the Catholic Church penance is not truly and properly a sacrament instituted by Christ our Lord to reconcile the faithful as often as they fall into sin after baptism, let him be anathema. Canon 3. If anyone says that those words of our Lord and Savior, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins ye shall retain, they are retained," are not to be understood of the power of remitting and retaining sins in the sacrament of penance, as the Catholic Church has always understood from the beginning, but contrary to the institution of this sacrament, distorts them to an authority of preaching the gospel, let him be anathema. Canon 4. If anyone denies that the full and perfect remission of sins, there are three acts required on the part of the penitent, as it were, the matter of the sacrament of penance, namely contrition, confession, and satisfaction, which are called the three parts of penance, or says that there are only two parts of penance, namely the terrors, a troubled conscience because of the consciousness of sin, and the faith received from the gospel or from absolution, by which one believes that his sins have been forgiven through Christ, let him be anathema. Canon 6. If anyone denies that sacramental confession was either instituted by divine law or is necessary for salvation, or says that the manner of secretly confessing to a priest alone, which the Catholic Church has always observed from the beginning and still observes, is alien to the institution and the mandate of Christ and is a human invention, let him be anathema. Canon 7. If anyone says that in the sacrament of penance it is not necessary by divine law for the remission of sins to confess each and all mortal sins of which one has remembrance after a due and diligent examination, even secret ones and those which are against the two last precepts of the Decalogue and the circumstances which alter the nature of sin, but that this confession is useful only for the instruction and consolation of the penitent and formerly was observed only for imposing a canonical satisfaction, or says that they who desire to confess all their sins wish to leave nothing to be pardoned by a divine mercy, or finally that it was not lawful to confess venial sins, let him be anathema. Canon 9. If anyone says that the sacramental absolution of the priest is not a judicial act, but an empty service of pronouncing and declaring that the one confessing that his sins are forgiven, provided only that he believes that he has been absolved, or, even if the priest does not absolve seriously, but in jest, or says that the confession of the penitent is not required, so that the priest may be able to absolve him, let him be anathema. Are you getting the point yet? It's a subtle, long-term strategy to drive people out of the church generation by generation. Don't tell the people why they need the Catholic Church and that their salvation may depend on it, and make the Catholic Church unbearable so they won't come. Why do you think they're trying to get rid of the Latin Mass? Because it is attracting people to Catholicism, especially the youth. I mean, they couldn't be any more transparent on this. First, Pope Francis says that he's concerned about the youth being attracted to the Latin Mass, even though they were raised in the new Mass. Then he issues Traditionis Custodis, which is clearly designed to phase out the old Mass. What do you think the whole Synod on Synodality is all about? They're going to make even further changes to the Church, perhaps get rid of the old Mass officially, I think, and they're going to say, well, this is what the people wanted. Well, first of all, who cares what the laity want? Christ put a hierarchical structure of authority in the Church. He did not want the laity to make these decisions. We're not Protestants. He wanted the Pope and the cardinals and bishops to make these decisions. And the reality is that's what's happening, because regardless of what they say, even if every layperson who went to these meetings said, we want the Latin Mass back, the end result is going to be, oh, they want to get rid of the Latin Mass. They want all this liberal Freemasonic communist crap we've been shoving down their throats for the last 60 years, and God loves us all the way we are, and he doesn't care about sin, and we're all going to heaven. Because that's how communists operate. They hold town meetings and make sure that their operatives are the ones that get in the audience and their opposition doesn't get in. And what few of their opposition does get into the meeting is quickly shut down and silenced. That way they can claim that their ideas are popular when in fact nobody wants them. Which is one thing when it comes to politics, but it's kind of a curious strategy with the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church is not supposed to succumb to popularity. It is supposed to preserve the true faith. What if everyone decided Jesus is not the Son of God? It doesn't change the fact that he is. The Catholic Church is supposed to defend the truth against the world, not become part of it. And of course, this was all predicted several centuries ago. For instance, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich told us that there is going to arise a false church alongside the real one. And when you walk into a church and there's a person whom St. Paul said should cover their head in church standing there, acting like they are going to consecrate the bread and cause transubstantiation, that's when you know it's over. You walk right out, because that will do nothing except offend God. When they start denying, officially denying, what they cannot deny, such as those who should cover their heads in church can become priests, the real presence, the forgiveness of sins through confession to a priest, or that not just a priest but a lay person can confect the sacraments, when they come out officially denying this stuff, you know the false church is here. As of right now, the sacraments are all valid. Even if a priest in his homily stood up there and said, you know what, Protestants are right, this is a symbol, or in fact there is no God, when he holds up the bread and says the body of Christ, it transubstantiates, regardless of what he says or thinks. If you go to the confessional and the priest says, oh, you don't need to confess that, or don't worry, God loves you, but when he says the words of absolution, you are absolved and you are forgiven. Because the sacraments work ex opero operato. Their efficacy is derived from the sacrament itself, not the person who performs the sacrament. But certain people can't perform sacraments, such as those who should cover their head in church. They cannot be validly ordained. That is infallible. When you see lay people doing the work of priests, trying to confect the sacraments, you know it's not going to work, and it's time to find the real Catholic Church. And God will show us where that is. And by the way, it's not going to be in a Baptist church or a Methodist church or anything like that. It's going to have valid priests who are giving valid sacraments. My first stop when that happens is going to be the SSPX, and hopefully they will not have succumbed to all of this. Because what matters is the sacraments, getting the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, and getting your sins forgiven. The Code of Canon Law states in 844, whenever necessity requires it, or true spiritual advantage suggests it, and provided that danger of error or of indifferentism is avoided, the Christian faithful for whom it is physically or morally impossible to approach a Catholic minister are permitted to receive the sacraments of penance, Eucharist, and anointing of the sick from non-Catholic ministers in whose churches those sacraments are valid. Canon 1335 says, if a censure prohibits the celebration of sacraments or sacramentals or the placing of an act of governance, the prohibition is suspended whenever it is necessary to care for the faithful in danger of death. If a laete sententia censure has not been declared, the prohibition is also suspended whenever a member of the faithful requests a sacrament or sacramental or an act of governance. A person is permitted to request this for any just cause. So we're not stuck. The Code of Canon Law gives us the right, for just reason, to go to any validly ordained priest, even if they're suspended or if they're in schism, and receive valid sacraments. So that means the SSPX, the SSPV, a Sede Vacantis priest, an Orthodox priest, the Polish National Catholic Church, the Old Catholic Church, we do have options when the time comes. But as long as these sacraments are valid in the mainstream church, in my opinion, I'm staying where I am until that changes. Which, for me, is a mixture of going to the Novus Ordo Mass and the Diocesan Latin Mass. But the Code of Canon Law is subjective. It says for any just cause or for moral reasons. So if anyone says, I have a just cause or a moral reason not to go to the Novus Ordo Mass, I need to go to the SSPX or SSPV or whatever, you're not going to get any argument from me on that. I'm just saying that I'm not there yet. Until my next video, God bless.